the tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israel pounds Gaza. The Gaza Health Ministry says at least 3,400 people have died, and Israel's government press office reports more than 1,400 deaths. Israel denies killing hundreds of people at a Gaza hospital, saying the explosion was caused by a rocket launched from inside Gaza. President Biden backs that up. CBS's Charlie Daggett.
The intelligence that both the United States is sharing and the Israeli Defense Force is sharing, that these were rockets that were launched from within Gaza. This is according to the information that they're giving. But it's just not really selling to other areas where Hamas is saying this is an Israeli airstrike. And you've seen some of these protests that have happened.
At the Cannon House building in Washington today, hundreds of Jewish Americans and allies were arrested while protesting Israel's war with Hamas and the killing of Palestinian civilians in Gaza.
Our government is doing this. Our government is paying for this to happen. And I cannot just like continue living my life as normal while thousands of people, thousands of children are being murdered with my tax dollars.
They're demanding Congress compel President Biden to facilitate a ceasefire. The suspect in Natalie Holloway's death, Joran Vandersloot, confesses to killing the Alabama teenager in Aruba in 2005 as part of a plea deal and pleads guilty to extortion and wire fraud. CBS's Janet Shamlian.
Vandersloot described how after Natalie kneed him in the groin, he smashed her head with a cinder block and dragged the high school senior into the water.
What was it like to hear and see that in real time?
It's shocking. It's almost as if it just blisters your soul when you hear it.
A new study discovers a link between adult attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and dementia. CBS's Christian Benavides.
New research from Rutgers University shows adults with ADHD are three times more likely to develop dementia. The study followed 100,000 adults for nearly two decades, finding even when other risk factors are taken into account, adult ADHD is associated with significantly higher dementia risk. The findings suggest ADHD treatment may reduce that elevated risk.
Johns Hopkins University researchers say drinking could increase the chances of cancer for women of all ages. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The American Cancer Society says women who have one alcoholic drink a day have a 7 to 10% increase in risk. Up to three drinks a day, 20% higher risk.
The Las Vegas Aces become the first team in 21 years to win back-to-back WNBA championships, beating the New York Liberty 70-69 in Game 4 of the finals. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, But it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the
Org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Longing begins with us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Wednesday, October 18th. Yes, filling in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is here on the board, but the new mom will be here at 10:33.
Woo!
I know, we get to see Kristen. We'll be checking in for her weekly news quiz, and then we're going to have a little update on baby Frankie about 10 minutes before 11 and see what's going on with the world's most perfect child.
Okay, Grandma Jane.
Come on. She's perfect.
She's adorable. I get to hold her and
I know.
See her perfect boopable nose today.
What time are you going over there?
Not sure. We got to still coordinate that.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, we're going to start off. The House once again in Washington is back in session. They are still trying to get a Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan failed yesterday in his efforts to become Speaker after 20 GOP lawmakers declined to back him in the first round on Tuesday, and so they're going to try again today. Although what I'm seeing on Twitter, Greg Bach, is that he's going to lose even more votes today.
I honestly thought Jim Jordan, I must be a dum-dum, but I thought Jim Jordan was the safe, easy choice for them all. Like, just whatever, fine, he'll do.
Yeah, apparently not.
Nope.
And I think part of what the problem is, because again, what I'm seeing this morning on Twitter is that at least 28 Republicans now will not vote for him today.
Oh my God.
And apparently there was this kind of pressure campaign for some of these holdouts, and even to the point of reaching out to some of the spouses.
Oh my goodness.
Of these holdouts. For instance, talk to your husband and tell him to step up and be a leader and help the Republican Party get a speaker. There's too much going on in the world for all of this going on in the Republican Party. You guys take 5 steps forward and then turn around and take 20 steps backwards. No wonder our party always ends up getting screwed over. And that was sent to a representative, I believe it's Mr. Bacon, his wife, was getting multiple anonymous emails and texts implying that her husband better vote for Jim Jordan or he's going to be out.
That's not a discussion or a message. That's mafia type stuff right there. Like it'd be a shame if this car blew up, but you know, you never know. I mean, oh no.
Yeah, that would be bad. We wouldn't want that to happen.
We wouldn't want that to happen.
To your car. So yeah, I think that is not sitting well with some of these members who might be in more of a swing district.
Or even be in a
district that President Biden won. And so it's going to be really interesting going forward. The other thing that they're apparently considering is giving the temporary speaker, Patrick Henry, more powers to at least get something done in the House. Because, again, we can't offer any aid to Israel. There are a number of things that are just all stalled now because this is not decided.
Does he not want the job?
Jim Jordan?
No. The pro tem right now.
Patrick McHenry?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Make him in the little bow tie, the guy. He loves that little hammer. Wha-bam!
He does love that little gavel, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Every time's a statement.
Yeah, that's for sure. And then here at home in Wisconsin, all of our Republicans in the House lined up behind Jim Jordan, which I guess is not a surprise.
Yay.
Brian Stile told reporters, this is according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in a period of time when we should be working on bringing down inflation, unleashing American energy, securing the border, supporting our ally in Israel, we find ourselves dealing with this challenge. It's disappointing that we're here. It is broadly frustrating with the challenges that we're facing that this is what's consuming our time.
And the thing is, they keep on talking about like, oh, we keep on getting the short on the stick. We keep getting screwed. We look like idiots. Yeah, you do. But somehow you all managed to walk away just, you know, dusting off your jackets and still being able to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we're the ones who pay the price.
Absolutely. One of our favorites, of course, Representative Derek Van Orden.
Oh, man, he's January 6th delicious.
Tells the Journal Sentinel, or at least is quoted in the Journal Sentinel as saying, I am frustrated with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle who continue to hold our government in gridlock. Yeah, Mr. Van Orden, it's your party.
Yeah, he's been spinning this yarn for a while of like the 8 Republicans and the Democrats. Dude, this is your party.
Right.
This is your doing. Do not like you. You think, we've talked about this before, you think for a moment that if this was Nancy Pelosi or Hakeem Jeffries and all of a sudden they lost faith in them, you think the Republicans would come to any one of our help? No.
Never, ever.
This is all about politics. It's about strategy, sir. And guess what? We got you this time, but you don't get to blame us.
No, I'm sorry. You don't get to blame the Democrats. It is, you're burning down your own house.
Yeah.
You're burning down your own house.
Yep.
Representative yep. Glenn Grothman, who, like Representative Scott Fitzgerald, Tom Tiffany, and Van Orden, all backed Jordan from the start. Grothman says, we all ought to fall in line. Everybody should respect that vote. And again, I go back to a comment that Tom Tiffany made earlier about how they're all independent thinkers, and yes. They don't just line up like sheep behind, you know, one person. They think on their own, but they should all line up and do what they're told.
I mean, if you've looked at Glenn Grothman's Twitter, it's one thing he's good at is standing next to people. Awkwardly. Please look that up, folks. Look that up. He's just standing awkwardly at state fairs, county fairs, church fairs, pancake breakfast, egg breakfast. He loves standing.
Standing and standing awkwardly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That should be a title or something. Should get a prize for best ability to stand awkwardly.
I would vote for that.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If Jim Jordan does not win the speakership today, who would you want to see as Speaker of the House? I mean,
could it be inside or outside? Anybody?
Let's open it wide open.
Yep.
Open it wide open. Anybody who's over the age of 20. 25.
All right.
To see who would, I don't know. I think it would be hilarious if Liz Cheney was in there. She's not.
I would think she would be amazing, but they would sooner vote in Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh, they will never do that.
But I'm saying like she is a list number one enemy now. Like she's worse than a Democrat. She's a Republican who snitched from inside the House.
Yeah. She's very within the party. You're right. She's a traitor.
Yep.
She's a traitor.
Just a traitor.
Not to mention, you know, she comes from a very famous Republican family.
That apparently is just too liberal for words now.
Yes, it's crazy. I have to say I'm going to enjoy this as much as I enjoyed Kevin McCarthy having to go 15 rounds before he got enough votes.
I mean,
there is something just kind of whoop whoop boing about that I find amusing.
Wait, whoop whoop boing.
Whoop whoop boing.
I know.
They're the whoop whoop boing party.
But maybe something like.
No, they're not. That's too evil.
I'm saying that's you.
Oh, that's me.
That's you.
Oh, sure. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I'll own that.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
I will happily own that. Democrats, as you mentioned, did unite behind Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, but the Republicans will never vote for Hakeem Jeffries.
No, they would never do that. I mean, they're not even floating that as a like a joke type of thing. Like, well, we might as well just vote for him while we're at it. Like that, they're just. I mean,
they're flailing.
And what I want to know right now is what is Matt Gaetz thinking? Because he is the arbiter of this destruction. He is the one who put this all in motion. And I can't imagine that he thought it was going to be this awful.
Really?
See, I don't know.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah.
I really don't think he cares.
Guess who's on the phone?
Matt Gaetz?
No. Grandpa Bob.
Grandpa Bob. Wonderful. Good morning, Bob. How are you? Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning. I really think that this is playing into the Koch brothers' playbook of the libertarian. If we don't have government, that plays right into them. You know, honestly, I don't know of the Republican enclave there who's going to bring somebody that's going to get voted in that's saleable to the rest of the planet.
You make a good point.
That's my short and sweet.
But you make a good point, Bob. It's like anyone who's reasonable is automatically discounted, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's pragmatism. You know, throw up there whoever you want, whatever sticks to the wall, because ultimately it's just going to be chaos until 2024, and hopefully there's sanity. Get out and vote. That's my answer.
You are absolutely right, Bob. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks, Bob.
Get out and vote. This is no joke.
No.
It's really not.
And honestly, things like this is going to solidify people to vote because the craziness of happening, it's just, I think it's going to make this election next year maybe historic. It's going to be even more like, because we're like, oh, 2020 was the most important election ever. Maybe 2024 now is.
Well, it's every election now is the most important ever.
Yeah.
Every election now is about retaining democracy.
Yeah.
Essentially. There's another article in Politico about this mess going on in the House right now. And apparently some of the more moderate Republicans have generated a new insult. They're called squishes.
What?
They're called squishes.
It's adorable. Those are squishes.
For their willingness, I'm sorry, for that flexibility, you know, they consider some reasonable things.
Yeah.
They have earned themselves the nickname squishes.
Oh, my squishes.
Yep, squishes. But at least 20 of those squishes apparently stood up yesterday and said nope. And right now, House is in session. They're voting again. Lots of rumors on Twitter saying Jordan's going to lose even more votes.
Then who's next?
And if you keep if every round you lose more votes, how many rounds do you go?
I mean, McCarthy won 15. You go until you're done. You go until there's a winner. There's no other choice.
Did McCarthy actually go backwards? I thought every round he might have gained a few more.
He gains, yeah. Oh, well, that I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
It's
fascinating times, my friends.
Weird, wild stuff.
844.
It's just a Carson impression.
967-2789. 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values.
So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. All kinds of clouds in the overnight and a chance of showers, some patchy fog as well. 48 degrees by sunup. South winds turning to the west. Showers continue on Thursday. Cloudy skies, patchy fog early, then the high reaching 59 in the late day. Right now it's 43.
It's 63 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Metflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, after that vote came down, and they're not sure whether they're going to do another one this afternoon. Apparently, Jordan still has some control over that or what they're going to do later. Maybe it's going to break on this hour. I don't know. But there is sentiment building for this Patrick McHenry to give him, giving him limited power of a full speaker for 30 days, 60 days. And if he does a decent job, he may end up being the speaker. And this is a guy that got plucked really out of left field. There's some very funny things that happened after the vote today. Some people were texting to Jordan, no jacket, no gavel, no service, because he thinks he's a man of the people. He runs around without a jacket and all that. One of the funniest things, well, one thing that was very funny, but one thing that was very sad, Elise Stefanik, she is the number three in the hierarchy, or was right now. Number one was Kevin McCarthy. Of course, he's toast. Number two is Scalise, and he bowed out. But number three, she was number three, the head of the caucus. She took Liz Cheney's position when they deep six Liz Cheney. And she nominates, she's one of the nominating speakers for Jordan. And I mean, I don't know, you know, do these people know anything? Listen to this. She goes, he is the voice of the people. We need him, whether on the wrestling mat or the committee room, we need him. I mean, there's an old Spanish saying. It's a great saying. It says, do not mention the rope in the house of the hanged man. Do not mention the rope in the house of the hanged man. Do not mention the wrestling mat in the house of Jordan. Are you crazy? Immediately, four wrestlers who'd wrestled for him put out a statement saying he's not fit to be speaker. Four of them. And that is because I think he takes the position he's not a mandatory reporter. He first of all lied and said he didn't know anything about the team doctor sexually assaulting wrestlers, you know, boys who were wrestling. But he had to know. I mean, the doc goes in, the doc's not subtle. The doc goes in, he pulls people's pants down right in the bathroom. They go, doc, that ain't right. One of them said that, doc, that ain't right. He doesn't say anything. Claims he didn't know. Well, that's a lot of baloney. These four wrestlers, four of them said he did know. So why do you mention the rope in the house of the hangman? Why do you mention the wrestling mat in the house where that he'd like to be the speaker? Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Dick. What's in your mind today?
Well, a couple things.
real quickly with this Patrick McHenry, not really too crazy about where some of his campaign money comes from. He's down with payday loan companies, but that's, you know, to be expected. You take money wherever you can get it, right? Do you think, Matt, and I know this couldn't happen, but let's say it could, if you could have a vote where it was totally anonymous, no one knows how you voted, do you think you could find five Republicans decent enough to swing over to Jeffries, and then we could have a functioning House of Representatives in this country?
I would love that. I think half of the Republicans would love that. The problem is the House rules do not permit for a secret vote on the floor. That's the problem. And any Republican who did that would be primaried and probably beaten by the same people that beat Liz Cheney. And that was in Wyoming, and her father was vice president of the United States, and they still beat her. I love it. I love the idea. I wish it could happen. I really do. Going back to the lines, Gene and Beauclair, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Glad you were watching what I was watching. We were suffering in pain together. We all can suffer together. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, I think that, you know, even bringing that up in our environment right now, as far as having Akeem Jeffries, those people would be ousted. Those people would be condemned. I mean, it's like there's a civil war going on watching in our Congress. But I'm proud of the heroes. I'm proud of those people that put in other names and did not support this guy even under duress when they were threatening and pulling all kinds of stuff on these people. They stood up for America. So there's still a few, none from the state of Wisconsin, but a few Republicans that are holding the fort down to save our country. And I'm really proud of my call and thank them. And the other people should too, because this is unbelievable, Matt. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? It's so alarming. It's like I can't sleep at night if Jim Jordan gets that speakership. I mean,
well,
please, thank you very much, though, for taking my call, and you have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Gene, thank you. But, he's not only that, he'd be second in line to the presidency. To the presidency, this guy. You can't have that. You just can't have it. And to Dick and Madison, I say, yeah, I'm not crazy about Patrick McHenry. There was a guy named Jesse James and a guy named White Earp who ran in Milwaukee. This guy, apparently, that's his name. Okay. But when I hear Hakeem Jeffries said he's respected on his side of the aisle, he may get his money from payday loans or whatever. All I'm interested in is we don't have a sociopath, character assassin, and a thief. And that is what most of the Republican caucus is. So if this guy is like a diamond in a coal bin or something, he ain't a real diamond maybe. But hey, you got to take what you can get. You got to take what you can get. And to follow up on what Gina Beauclair said, all six Republicans in Milwaukee in Wisconsin voted for Jim Jordan, all six of them. So the next time Gallagher or Stile or any of these characters come shining around, Van Orden, and they go, oh, I'm a moderate, throw them out. Throw them out. They voted for him, all six. The 21 people who voted for other people, they voted for McCarthy, Scalise, this one, that one, they were true heroes, and they were not in Wisconsin. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
CBS News Special Report. During a historic trip to Israel, President Biden says Egypt's president has agreed to let up to 20 trucks carry humanitarian aid to Gaza.
He agreed that what he would do is open the gate on to let up to 20 trucks through to begin with.
The mission was meant as a show of support for a key American ally, but CBS's Margaret Brennan tells us.
When it looks like the United States is only speaking out in defense of Israeli lives and not Palestinian lives, even though the president did say Israel needs to respect law of war, he didn't call for a ceasefire. And that in particular is a sore point.
In Washington, hundreds of Jewish activists in support of the Palestinians protested today.
Just to get the message to Congress that we shouldn't be part of this genocide and to, you know, make it clear that they don't speak for all Jewish people when they support the conflict.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to Madison Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we're going right to the lines. I'm going to take you in order. Do not hang up. Start with Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Great discussion, as always. The first point I would add, I just had 2 points to make, Matt. First off, is that information about what Mr. Jim Jordan did during his time in Ohio is still going to be opened up even more by a documentary executive produced by George Clooney through his Smokehouse Productions. It's going to be on HBO coming up in the next several months. So that line of information is only going to get bigger and bigger, and what is now a dribble is going to become more like a rushing Colorado River in terms of what his actions were back then. The other thing that I would ask, Matt, and that is about the votes in Hakeem Jeffries. As I understand it, for 13 times, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democratic candidate, has gotten the most votes. So, you know, in a democracy, one should assume he would win. But as I understand it, under the rules of the Constitution, it has to be the majority of the people within the House at that particular time. if it's a problem for Republicans to jump over and to vote for Hakeem Jeffries, how could they could get around it by just saying present rather than voting for anybody when it comes their turn to record their vote? Or they could simply not be there when it's their time for a vote. They could have that oh-so-awful sprained ankle or a really bad case of the flu, whatever, so that that would reduce down the number of Republicans that are voting, and Hakeem Jeffries could be in a position of winning, which I think is the most is really what the Dems should push for. This idea of going for Patrick McHenry is scarier than all get out to me. We don't know anything about this guy. He's new. What do we know about him? If he has anything like the rest of the Republicans who are in there, they'll be like the Republicans were with the funeral of John Lewis, and they'll make a promise and they won't stick with it. So I would say for the Dems being in the position where they are, the argument they make is vote for Hakeem Jeffries or this is going to go on for the next several months. So my thoughts, I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
Right. That's an excellent call with a lot of profound sub questions. Let me just hit it quickly. And first of all, you're right. It takes a majority, not a plurality. If it were plurality, Hakeem Jeffries would be the speaker right now because he got the most votes, but he didn't get 50% plus one. So that's number one. Number two, you're absolutely right that one way to basically solve this would be not vote, you know, vamoose, get out of town, or just vote present or not vote, just sit there. You don't have to vote. Now, to do that, that would require there were eight people who voted, I think, for McCarthy, seven for Scalise, and I think six for other people. Emmer got one, and this a guy named Lee Zeldin from New York, who used to be a congressman and ran for governor, didn't make it, but ran a strong race. Anyway, if those people, or if frankly only something out of 20, let me just do quick the math, this guy gets 199, you could let him have 10 of them could vote for him. But if the other 10 didn't vote, Hakeem Jeffries would be the speaker. The reason I don't think that is likely is simply because if somebody did that, and you know, people aren't dumb. I mean, they know what they're doing. They get primaried and they lose. Your final thing is, I couldn't agree more. I don't know anything about Patrick McHenry. The other day, I was disparaging him, and I talk about Jesse James and White Earp and all that, but when Hakeem Jeffries was asked about it, he did not rule it out. He knows that in a Republican majority House, he can't be speaker simply because people would lose their seats. And very few of them have the courage of somebody like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger. So it's very likely going to be a Republican or no speaker. You point out, well, why don't we sweat him for a couple of months? And the problem with that is we've got to get aid to Israel right now. We really do. And we've got to get aid to Ukraine. We've got to pass some kind of spending bill or the House, the government shuts down on November 17. And today is October 18. So as nice as that would be, if we had a functioning budget right now that went out a year, and if we had, the full amount appropriated for Israel and Ukraine, yeah, I would like that very much. I think that would be terrific, but it's too dangerous right now. Thanks so much for calling. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. And the rest of you, don't hang up. I'll get you. Andrew of Detroit, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Professor. It just makes me sad that these Rust Belt states are not hanging together. Their Congress people are not hanging together and voting the same. It makes me very sad that a state, Wisconsin, I consider a sister state, has gone so far MAGA, let's destroy everything in Wisconsin. It's just terrifying. Beyond that, I'm wondering, Professor, is there anything Biden can do with money that's already been appropriated? Like, I hear there's excess money from COVID and whatever. Is there anything he can do with that money to help aid Israel at this time? Ukraine, I guess we'll get to, but I don't know. Is there nothing he can do with money that's already been appropriated but is not being used the way it's supposed to be? Thanks, Professor.
Yeah, no, very, very good. Very, very good question. I'll answer it right now. But here's the deal. When you say that, you know, we're MAGA over here, because you're in Detroit, Michigan's a sister state. The only reason it looks that way is because of gerrymandering. If there were a legislature that had fair maps, if there were a legislature with fair maps, it wouldn't be that way at all. That's what we're fighting right now. With regard to what Biden can do, he can do some things by executive order. If, God forbid, they don't come up with a speaker and the Republicans, some of them, they don't want aid and all that kind of stuff. There is a fund. I think it's, and don't hold me to this, something like $80 billion, quite a bit of money. It's not a rainy day fund, but there is money in reserve from other programs that he could tap, and he will tap it. He will tap it. But why should we get to that? Why should we get to that? He has put in a request to Congress for $100 billion, $100 billion, a year's aid to Israel, a year's aid to Ukraine, and money for immigration at the border. He put that in. That has got to pass. There are Republicans who don't want to give any money to Ukraine. There are a few Republicans like Tommy Tuberville, but there are some Democrats on the far left who don't want to give aid to Israel. It is absolutely important that the overwhelming majority of Congress that wants to give aid to both is permitted to vote on it. Thanks very much. We're going back to the lines. Do not hang up. We'll get you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. The bottom line here, Jim Jordan cannot be in charge of anything, not even a light switch, for Christ's sakes, in Washington, because he's a Trump surrogate. Trump is I'll put it in my own words, he's a traitor. He tried to overturn a free and fair election. I don't know how it gets any worse than that, other than giving away secrets. But Jim Jordan has you just can't have him as speaker. So whatever they can work out to find a speaker that is, you know, trustworthy, at least seems to be trustworthy, you have to go on with the country's business here. So I hope they can work something out. The good news is Jordan, I don't think the way things stand now, is going to get this, and thank goodness for that. So that's my two cents today. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you very much. Excellent comments. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's your mind today, Bill?
You know, two things. One, we need a program. There's so many clowns in this circus, I can't keep track of them. I can't keep track of their felonies. I want a scorecard. I got to know some of, you know, all the mob. But really, what they are, what they have to be called, are they're domestic terrorists, but plain and simple. And enough is enough. And thanks to your show, you're creating, whether your listeners know it or not, somewhat what I'd call political activists. And if you're a political activist, I know I have, I know Gene has, I know many others have, I'm calling their offices daily. I called Ron Johnson's a while back, and I said to the person answering the phone, you tell Ron, resign now, avoid the embarrassment. He's got so many charges hanging over his head he's running away from. Unfortunately, we don't have enough Democrats or attorney generals or Department of Justice that's got a backbone to go after these people. But once they realize that the public is turning on them, calling them domestic terrorism, I guarantee you, the Department of Justice, the rest, they'll step up and they'll do it because they can see this wave coming. As far as Jordan goes, your previous caller, right, he's not able to turn on the lights. And if he was in grade school, he's not even eligible to feed the fish. So, he is the most worthless piece of junk, and I'm trying to not swear, that I have ever heard in my life. But I'm going to put a challenge out. Here's my challenge. Anywhere, anytime, be on my dime, you come out here, I'll buy you lunch. I'll take on any Republican in a debate. I just have two rules. You show respect, you don't shout, you don't swear, and you don't talk over each other. I'll debate them. I tried to get Dan O'Donnell to do that. He ran away like a little child. He knows He won't. He doesn't even want to talk to me anymore. Why? Because I'm going to ask him tough questions. And I'd love to debate Rojo. First thing I'd ask him, what are you doing on the 4th of July a couple of years ago? How much money did you take? And number two, tell me about the electoral votes that you said you only participated in for 3 seconds. I want to hear it right now. I am so fed up with these people. But there's plenty of Republicans in our state that might take my challenge. So I hope you're listening, Republicans.
I hope they do. I hope they do, Bill. Thank you very much. I love your calls. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, thanks so much to Paul, Dick, and to Joe. I love Joe. I love Joe's thinking that way. But I mean, let's face it. This all traces back to, you know, Donald Trump and his attempt to overthrow the election, which, as was pointed out to me yesterday, you know, traced back to before the election even happened. Donald Trump was setting this up. He did not form a transition team to work with Joe Biden, the incoming administration. They were plotting this all along. And the fact of the matter is that these guys were plotting against the Constitution of the United States. And I'm talking to you, Mr. Fitzgerald, and all the fake electors here in the state of Wisconsin. And as Paul just pointed out, Ron Johnson, and Jim Jordan was, you know, at the heart of this conspiracy against the United States of America, a clear violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, you know, that guarantees us the right to vote and to have our votes recognized. And it was a clear abridgment of those rights, you know, on the part of a sworn legislator. I mean, it is just.
Right. Well, here's the deal. It was a violent thing that he did, that the insurrectionists did. Crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump was behind it. And Jim Jordan's his guy. And Donald Trump even insulted and attacked Scalise, saying he has cancer. He should, quote, take care of his health, end quote. These were crocodile tears. He doesn't care if Scalise lives or die. It dies. And all I can say, it's a happy day for America now. The gymnasium Jim Joam Jordan actually lost votes. He lost 20 votes. Yesterday, he lost 21 today. 4 people flipped to go against him and 2 flipped to go back to him. So he netted out 2 that were after him. That's got to continue. But what do we do? What do we do? And Hakeem Jeffries, whom I respect quite a bit, has said, well, Patrick McHenry has some respect on our side of the aisle. I've never met Patrick McHenry. I've got to take that as gospel. And then Hakeem knows what he's doing. The rest of them know what they're doing. They sit down with Ms. Henry and you say, look, guy, just put it on the floor. I don't care if you speak against it. Although the speaker is not supposed to speak on a bill and he doesn't get to vote on a bill. He's supposed to be the speaker for the whole Congress. Just put it out there and you'll have about 160 Republicans will vote for it and 200 Democrats. And we're golden. We've done the deal, because otherwise you can take some money out of the old weasel sack and give it to Israel out of other programs. You can't fund the government for the next year, which is the problem. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And the flames went higher.
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. The ring of fire.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically like hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like 2 or 3 times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. All kinds of clouds in the overnight and a chance of showers, some patchy fog as well. 48 degrees by sunup. South winds turning to the west. Showers continue on Thursday. Cloudy skies, some patchy fog early, then the high reaching 59 in the late day. It's 42 at our studios.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt for the Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk about Joe Biden's visit to Israel. And I watched his comments, which watched quite a bit of it. And I've got to say something. I don't think I've ever been prouder of a U.S. president than I was to see Joe Biden fly to Israel in the middle of this war and stand there and stand with not just leadership in Israel, but with first responders, people whose relatives were kidnapped and taken to a Gaza, people whose relatives were butchered and tortured by Hamas. And he said one thing that really stuck with me. Joe said this. He said, I want everybody to know you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. You don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. The word Zionist and Zionism in some quarters on the right, the far right and the far left is used as a pejorative, but it's not a pejorative. What it simply is the right of Jewish people to live in peace in their own country. You remember that they were subject to genocide in Europe by Europeans, by Germans, but not just by Germans. Much of Europe was Nazified. You know, you had Franco in Spain, you had Mussolini in Italy, you had collaborators in France, and Eastern Europe had a lot of problems that way too. So what are they going to do? Joe Biden repeated his story about Golda Meir. Golda Meir, a great prime minister of Israel. Many people may not know that Golda Meir is a graduate of North Division High School in Milwaukee. She was from Milwaukee. She lived in Milwaukee. She taught school in MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, in Milwaukee in the River West area. Anyway, this was right after the Yom Kippur War in October of 1973, and Joe Biden had only been in the Senate less than a year. And he talked to her and he said, I'm flattered that you'd meet with me. She said, would you like to have a picture? He said, well, yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, he's a newbie. He's nobody. And they're standing there and he said, I just want you to know how remarkable it was that you were able to fight off so many countries who attacked you by surprise. And Golda Meir said, well, we won because we have a secret weapon. And Joe said, what's your secret weapon? And she said, our secret weapon is that we have nowhere else to go. They're remarkable people. And this is not to say that Palestinians are not also remarkable people and good people. There are many of them. I know a number of Palestinians, and I am close friends with several Palestinians. But what happened a week ago Saturday, by Hamas was Nazi-style torture of civilians. And I want to address one issue that came up the other day. Was the bombing of the hospital in Gaza. Terrible thing, should never have happened. Hamas blamed Israel. Joe Biden was briefed on it. The CIA looked at it, or NSA looked at it. And he announced in Israel, he said, American intelligence is certain that that bombing did not come from an Israeli rocket. And he was kind of nice to the other side. He didn't mean to be. He kept calling them the other team, which I thought was a little bit fuzzy, but he had the guts to go to Israel in the middle of this conflict. He said, it is a rocket that came from the other side, from the Gaza side, as it turned out, Islamic Jihad, that went off course and hit the hospital. The proof that has come out so far is that the Israeli missiles leave a crater. They're much more substantial. And to kill, I think they said 500 people, that's what it would require. American intelligence doesn't believe that number is accurate. They believe that Hamas has exaggerated or been untruthful about it. And there have been a number of instances where rockets from Islamic Jihad to go into Israel have malfunctioned and fallen in Gaza. They've also picked up some phone calls among Hamas people, because now they're listening in all the conversations in which they alluded to it was on their side. There is only one thing that I disagree with Biden on in that recounting. And that is because I practiced law for 40 years. And I don't know a lawyer who's practiced law for 40 years who believes in coincidences. Coincidences are very, very rare. For a hospital to be blown up the day before Joe Biden is going to come to Israel and meet with leaders from Egypt and Jordan, in Jordan, the odds of that happening on purpose by the Israelis are slim to none. I do not believe that the other side did it by accident. That was the most effective way, first of all, of making sure that the Egyptians and the Jordanians and even the Saudis, because they wouldn't see Blinken for a day or so and stood him up. That is the easiest way to make sure that they can't possibly meet with Joe Biden, because it inflamed everybody in their society. So I would say this. What's going on is a terrible, terrible thing. What Hamas did, and this is a new tactic, is invade Israel in a free society. You can walk around, everybody kind of looks alike and all that, in most societies, and you don't question people. And they do the utmost savage form of torture that is more reminiscent of Iran, more reminiscent of ISIS and the Nazis. There has to be a response, but people over time forget the horror of what they did. People's memories fade, but they get nothing but TV images of the bombing that results, which, by the way, has killed many, many Hamas officials. They bomb areas that are the entrances to the tunnels. Israel has said that it will permit humanitarian aid, but there have to be Red Cross visits to and then they said they'd permit humanitarian aid even without this, but their first request was Red Cross visits to the hostages to make sure they're okay. So I stand with Joe Biden and I stand with Israel. I am delighted he went over. It took a lot of guts to go into that war zone. Trump didn't even go to Vietnam because he had bone spurs. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning.
and they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EPO